All right, that'll do it for our program. Don't go anywhere. Jaguars Thursday set to kick off. J.P. Shadrick, Tony Boselli, and Jeff Loggeman have that coming up for you. J.P., what's up, brother?
Oh, well, first of all, we have a full house tonight. The entire crew is here for the first time in a while.
So the,
2 weeks.
So that,
yeah,
we only
missed
a while.
It's
a while.
Right? We only missed 1 week, J.P.
Now, wait. Let's be very clear. I haven't missed in the last
You were
long,
here
long
and accounted
time.
For. Yes, you
yes,
were.
I was here.
And we appreciate that.
I was here, Frank. Frank,
you,
I was here.
Are you preparing us for some time off?
just wait a while.
The rock of the show is there, is what he's saying, boys. That's I get right. it.
When
I
it comes to June, deep. You guys will handle it for a while.
Mm-hmm. Well, I already got vacation for 2 weeks of June, but you can have the other two.
Uh-oh.
That means I'm the rock.
That means JP's going to be the rock in June.
Tony, you were traipsing the sidelines of an amazing game, right? It had to be crazy in the stadium, didn't it?
It was interesting. It was a game 9 minutes left in the third quarter. You're like, oh, another one of those blowout Super Bowls, not going to be very interesting. At 28-3, I looked over at the producer and said, it's over. It's done. Let's get this. We're starting to talk about who we're going to interview from the Falcons and everything else. And, boy, the momentum shifted. That Dante Hightower sack fumble, you could feel at that moment everything change. Up into that point, you still felt like the, you know, the Falcons are in control. They'll be fine. I think it was a second and one or third and one situation on that fumble. But, yeah, it changed, and it was exciting.
Yeah, but, you know, they still could have been in control even after that play.
Well, they could have. I mean,
yeah, could have.
I've said it, and Kyle Shanahan was actually interviewed today, and he said, do I have regrets? Sure, I always do, but I called the game the way we called it all year, and that's what got us here. And he's right about that.
MVP of the league has got the ball in his hands.
Well, if you look at this Falcon team, they played full speed, pedal to the metal all year long. I mean, that's just who they are. And that's what he said. Now,
but
I would argue that first and 10 at the 22 with 4:40 left, you could take a knee three times.
Make it a two-possession game.
Kick right. a field goal.
Simple
with
enough.
3.5 minutes and –
That's all you should be thinking about. And that doesn't fall on Kyle Shanahan.
That falls on
Dan Quinn.
Dan Quinn at that point has to tell Kyle, says, listen, I don't care what we've done or what you want to do.
That's why you're the head coach.
So, but, boy, it was – I'm doing that game on Atlanta, and I'm friends with Dan Quinn and Thomas Dimitroff. I mean, they've all become friends cause over the years and doing a lot of national games. And I don't want to say I was rooting for him, but –
I
think I was a little bit because they're such good guys and you want to see them and they've had such a great year. And then for it to end the way it did, and I had to interview Dan Quinn afterwards, which is
– How'd that go?
Oh, I hate being – that's when I don't like the media.
Yeah. Logs, you've been there, bro.
Yeah. Well, look, Frank, an average of 12 times in the last 4 years, right?
I was going to say, you've been there.
Jeff has been there. I'd argue after the Super Bowl losing that way, it's a little bit worse.
Yeah, probably, yeah.
But it's never
Yeah,
good.
But it's only one time.
Yeah, it's only one time. Yeah. but it's – boy, I was telling these guys, Frank, earlier, once the Falcons punted the ball to the Patriots – I again looked over at our producer and said, I guarantee you the Patriots are going to win this game.
Yeah, there
was no doubt in my mind at that point. And when they won the coin toss, I'm like, Atlanta's never seeing the ball.
Game over.
Now, I will tell you, I'm not a big criticize the play call. Everyone loves to criticize the play calls. I think it's easier to do it from a radio studio than in that box. And I didn't mind the third and one pass because I thought they were trying to.
No, that's who they are. I'm okay with that,
right.
too.
But the not running the ball after the Jones catch, I'm screaming at the TV, three runs and a field goal, game's over, right?
Yeah, it is.
Field
it
goals
is. Outside of the Patriots getting an onside kick, it's over.
Yeah.
But, you know, the best part of that, I mean, that just cements Tom Brady's status as the greatest of all time.
Oh, he is the greatest.
It's unreal.
But don't take anything away from that defense as well, because in the third quarter, the Patriots kicked a onside kick that they did not get.
Mm-hmm.
Right,
and
great field position.
Great, if Falcons get a first down, they're in field goal position, mm-hmm. and it makes. And we said, and I said this on the sideline: if the Falcons score one more time, it's almost impossible for the Patriots to have enough possessions to come back.
Right,
right.
And you talk about the defense coming up big, and I think that's been not talked about enough. That Patriot defense from the mid third quarter on. Were dominant.
The Patriots' defense and the New England's their offensive line.
Something changed. I mean, they changed.
Yeah.
It just flipped.
Yep.
And I think when you have Tom Brady on your team,
gives you confidence.
It gives you so much confidence.
Oh, yeah, come on.
You just never feel like you're out of it.
That's why I never left the TV because it's Tom Brady. It's Tom freaking Brady.
I was tempted a couple times to say, okay, that's that. I mean, 28-9, I thought that was that. But
you know what? I picked him, and I knew it all along. Well, how about that?
I can tell you, Frank, that you know, I'd stopped drinking beer, and I said, you know, it's going to be bedtime soon. The Patriots got the ball at the end of regulation,
started drinking beer again.
I said, it's time to have another beer.
That's fine. JP, what's coming up on the show?
Oh, a little more talk about Super Bowl week. We'll review that. Combine's coming up. I know Tony loves talking about the draft. We might go there. And then free agency March 9th. We'll look at a couple positions possibly for the Jags.
Maybe we'll talk sitcoms. And just carry over your guy.
Well, we've pretty much covered that now.
Yeah, right? I think you've killed that.
I think we have.
Yeah, I think you've beat that one to death.
Wait till you hear tomorrow's, bro. It's only I know you, Tony. It's gonna be hard for you to believe, but it's only getting better. Okay, so there you go.
Just make sure I get credit when I correct you guys on the radio.
Yeah. I came back. I came back. And
I heard
credit.
You come back. It was it took a little long.
It did take a while. The show is Jaguars Thursday, and it starts now.
Live from the HananiaAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Thursday.
Jaguars Thursday.
JP Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman, and Tony Baselli bring you the latest Jaguars news and what's happening around the NFL. Jaguars Thursday is brought to you by Baptist Health, Ticket Exchange, and by Everbank.
Touchdown, Jacksonville!
Jaguars Thursday, driven with SunPass, begins right now.
Here we go with Jaguars Thursday. JP Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman, Tony Baselli. We'll get to your calls coming up a little later. We'll open the phone lines tonight. 355-NFL-1. Super Bowl is gone. No football this week for the first time in a long time.
Kind of depressing.
If you count the Pro Bowl.
Kind of depressing.
It is, right?
Well,
but then again, the offseason is vital.
Well, I don't want to talk. Listen, before we get there.
Well, what do you want to talk about, Tony?
Yeah, well, you know,
the floor is yours.
I got a question.
Okay.
What did you have to correct Frank on today?
Well, I'm an avid listener to the Frank Frangie show.
Yeah.
It was yesterday, actually, and they had some just blatant factual error
on
about the legacy or the list of how Tennessee Vols have hired their coaches.
Okay.
And they messed it up, so I text Frank the correct order.
What did they mess up?
Well, they said Phil Fulmer and then Derek Dooley got the job and then Lane Kiffin. It was the opposite, Kiffin and then Derek Dooley. Right. And so I text Frank to correct him. Yeah. And then he corrected it on air and didn't give me any credit. So I texted him back.
Wow.
And said, I would like credit for my – and so after the break, he corrected.
It's almost plagiarizing.
Yeah, he plagiarized my knowledge.
your text.
So I don't appreciate that.
Derek Dooley was a college teammate of mine.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah,
wide receiver coach at the Dallas Cowboys now.
Mm-hmm. Good guy.
And speaking about football being over, I got to be honest with you. I'm actually happy.
That it's over?
It'll only be for about 2 weeks. But I'll tell you what, I was worn out. I look back. I did a football game every weekend from the first week of August until last weekend. And on 10 of those weeks, I did 2 games a week.
Mm.
And I was like,
"So
a little break, I'll be okay with that."
So what would the scale say after the
hey, great question.
Right? Yeah, I gained some weight this football season.
Need to call Dr. DSPSCCS again.
Yeah, I think I gained about 15 pounds.
Okay, that's not bad.
No. So, you know what, though? I think some of it's muscle, in all honesty, because I worked out. No, I worked out like 5 days a week, 4 or 5 days a week. I work out a lot. Because all my clothes that I had when I was 15 lighter fit the exact same.
Mm.
So I think it's probably about 5 pounds of bad weight. So I'm going to get back. I'm doing going back on the 904 thin here next week.
Okay.
For about 20 days, get a little cleanse, get started again. I'm committed.
Good for you. Congratulations.
Where I get worried, Jeff, and you understand this, is when the clothes, like when you're in shape, stop fitting, and you have to go up to the next level of clothes.
Yeah.
And that has not happened.
That's good, though.
That's good.
Congratulations.
First of all, I don't want to – Jeff can question because he is always in shape.
I'm not questioning.
You can say nothing.
What are you talking about?
You got a spare tire wrapped around your waist.
That's from last week's procedure.
Whatever.
Okay.
No.
We don't have to go there, but you just went there.
You were fat before the procedure, and you still are fat.
I'm not. You know what? You would be nicer to me.
Well, I
and
was.
That is not
you
at
started
all.
This fight.
I did not at
yes,
all.
Yes, you did.
I said that's congratulations.
No, that's all I said.
You're
very sarcastic, very questioning.
What's wrong with you?
I felt a little sarcastic. Yes.
I mean, yeah. I'm fine with Jeff because Jeff is always in shape. He has my
I think
best.
This is just anger from you not getting the Hall of Fame. This is what this is. Leftover anger.
Possibly.
It's what this is.
It could be.
Don't take it out on me, big boy.
I might be projecting my disappointment
on
you.
Yeah. Don't point it over here.
I don't think so. Looking at you, I think it's just that you're fat. But
you're going to get in. Just relax. You're going to get in at some point.
Thank you, JP.
Okay? Just let it go, man.
It's a great comeback, JP.
What's wrong with you?
I got nothing left to say. Finally, you like fought back and had something.
It's fine.
It's the first time in 2 years.
No, it's not the first time.
That you had anything to come back with.
Don't get JP worked up. He might bust a stitch.
Right. Yeah, don't do that. Yeah.
How you doing down there?
I'm great. Tony, thanks.
First one?
What?
Did you do both?
Yeah.
You do both at the same time?
Yeah. It was not an ideal couple of days after all that happened.
You got to explain what happened, JP. People are wondering, what is he talking
about? Right, so surgical procedure, first one ever, lifting furniture, hernia situation. So two different ones, all the same
Everything
time.
Everything working okay down there?
Everything's great.
Okay.
Why?
Why
are you curious?
You know what's
what are you worried about?
I'm worried about you.
What's unfortunate is that every time somebody brings up a surgery, I'm like, yeah, I had one of them.
I can't bring up anything. I had like seven of those.
Yeah, I had one while I was playing.
I missed a series.
How long did you – can you lift stuff now?
No. Another week. So they said 2 weeks. 10 pounds or less, I'm good. So first few days are rough, you know. Couldn't get off the couch. Had to roll off the couch one day onto my knees.
That's all right. You do what you got to do.
You don't get off the couch very often anyway.
That's real. You know what, Tony? You're going to get in the Hall of Fame one day. I swear. You are close. You are close. So just calm down.
So
it's okay.
If and when and whenever that
it's
happens.
It's okay.
Do you think I'll be nicer to you all of a sudden?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
I don't think so.
I don't think it'll change one thing.
It might get worse.
It might, yeah. That bust is going to be huge.
Oh,
biggest
big
one
head,
in the hall.
Big forehead.
Huge. Deep eye sockets.
I think the bust might make fun of you, too.
They talk to themselves when the doors are closed. You know
that's what
that,
I've been
right?
told.
Yeah. So we talked a little Super Bowl with Frank, but, I mean, this is our first chance as a group to really talk about this thing. It's simple now. Tom Brady's the best all time. Right?
Yes.
How good was he in that fourth quarter? I mean, some of his throws were just unbelievable because we were talking before the show. He had a stretch now where he took some hits and he was not very good.
Very inaccurate.
And throws didn't look very good. And you're like, wow. And I was wondering, did he get hurt on one of those hits? You know, he's 39 years old, you know? I mean, that's a good way to think on a 39-year-old quarterback. But then the fourth quarter came around. And the little out route that he threw to Amendola down the stretch, I mean, on the money.
And I was sitting on the sideline where he throws that before Amendola's ever out of his
way
break.
Way before.
Yeah. He's throwing that to a spot of where Amendola's going to be. And he had multiple throws like that. And I think what gets taken for granted and being on the sidelines watching it, and Jeff, you said it, 39-year-old quarterback, and he was getting tattooed. One time he gets just drilled. And his head's going back and snaps to the back of someone's knee and gets kneed in the back of the head. I'm thinking, he might not get up.
Yeah.
And the dude gets up, and you would know nothing. I mean, he is a tough dude, tough man. I mean, and his composure and the way he handles stuff, and even when it's not going well, he's not rattled.
No. I thought what impressed me the most, because, you know, a lot of that comes from, you know, the culture that he was raised in, which is Bill Belichick's culture. And you watch throughout the game, and they were, you know, when New England was down so far behind, and I made this comment to the guys on, that was Monday morning, the drill. Bill Belichick never stopped coaching in that game at any point in the ball game. He was always on the sideline going over the shots with the camera, with his players, talking to guys. I mean, in that instance, how many head coaches would you – watch and see to where they're just like, you know, because it's the biggest game of the year. The emotion all of a sudden when you're down that that much.
Right.
The ability to come back is even harder in a game of that magnitude. Yeah. So for him to be able to keep coaching, that attitude permeates throughout the team. And it also, as we talked about, when you have Tom Brady, you always have a belief that we can get it done.
So Brady's the greatest quarterback ever.
Mm-hmm.
Belichick, they should rename the Lombardi the Belichick Trophy.
Oh, wow.
Because Bill Belichick, now he has Tom Brady, but what he does, the sum is greater than the parts on his team.
Always.
Better than anyone I've ever seen. And he talks about it.
Year in and year out.
Everybody has a role on that team. And everyone knows what their role is, and everyone just worries about doing their role and doing it at the highest level. And he takes a bunch of guys that you don't know their names. You don't know where – I mean
– you never heard of Hogan before the playoffs.
I mean, Hogan didn't play college football. Amendola was a free agent.
Edelman was a college
quarterback, didn't know where to play him. James White, who knows what he was doing last year or 2 years ago. Tom Brady, a six-rounder, fine. A guard in Shaq Mason, who played the wishbone at Georgia Tech and couldn't pass block me at the Senior Bowl, is your starting guard. Marcus Cannon, a mid-round – I mean – just go down the list. I mean, Rob Ninkovich.
Who is he?
You keep on going through these guys. Malcolm Butler. You know, you got Logan Ryan. I mean, you keep on going down the list of these guys. And what he does is he coaches them up and gets them to do their job. And the confidence, I think it's because you have Tom Brady and because of the culture that he – and the credibility he has because what he's done in the past gets them to buy in at a level that I don't think a lot of places buy in at that level. Mm-mm. Or players buy at that level, and he gets them to do their job at an extremely high level. Think about what they did this year. They were 14-2. They did not have their starting quarterback, who's the best quarterback ever for four games. For 12 of the games, they didn't have the best tight end in football. They traded away in the offseason their number one sack guy in Chandler Jones.
Mm-hmm.
Then they traded in the season their most athletic, best linebacker in Jamie Collins. Mm. They won the Super Bowl. Their wide receivers were Chris Hogan, Amendola, and Edelman and Malcolm.
And they're now a team that is
$60 million under the salary cap.
Under the cap.
I mean, this is – it's when you start breaking down what he has done. And yes, I heard it said best. I think I was listening to Colin Cowherd, and he said it best. There's no reason to talk about Brady and Belichick separately. It's a dumb argument, and it is. Appreciate the two of them together, because Brady's not doing what he does without Belichick, and Belichick's not doing what he does without Brady.
Nope.
But the two of them together are the best ever at what they've done. The best. There's no question. I don't care about Spygate. I don't care about Deflategate. I don't care what they have done or not done or accused of and what they can prove or not. Two best ever, without a doubt, change the name of the trophy and call it the Belichick Trophy. He's that good.
Fans that renew their season tickets by February 28th will be able to take advantage of loyalty pricing. You'll pay the same price you paid in 2016. And also, for the first time ever, the Jags are offering priority purchasing opportunities for concerts at Daly's Place. This is in addition to the great benefits like Teal Deals and exclusive events like Coach's Town Hall and NFL Draft Parties. For more information, call 904-633-2000. Phone lines are open, and this is Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars.com and Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday continues right now.
Jaguars Thursday continues. JP Shadrick, Jeff Logman, Tony Vaselli. 355-NFL-1. Phone lines are open. As you heard in that commercial timeout, there are a few shows at Daly's Place with ticket on sale dates coming up, including Dave Matthews and Tim Reynolds. They're going on sale tomorrow.
Yeah, but I'm fired up about the opening weekend. Oh. The local act to break it out, Tedeschi Trucks Band.
They're awesome. Have you
good
seen
stuff.
Them?
No,
I've never
not
seen
them.
I met
three times.
I met their guy, one of their lead guys.
It's unbelievable.
That's
good
Bowl.
Stuff.
They're great.
Good stuff. I'm gonna have to go to that.
It's a great show. Mm. They put on a great show.
Be a hot ticket.
You've seen it 3 times?
I've seen them 3 times. I went to Nashville last year and saw them at the Ryman, actually. Mm. It was awesome. Really good.
That's right. That was your little off-season trip.
Yes, yeah. It was. It was fantastic.
Where are you going to take your off-season trip this year?
I don't know. I'm going to Miami in April for a weekend. It'll be fun. Other than that, I don't know. I got to figure out something in June when you guys are I'll be here. I mean, you guys take your vacations 2 weeks apiece,
I'm thinking
I'll get a couple days here or there after.
I might go a month, June and July.
Shocked by that at all, Tony.
When's camp really start? Do we know when camp dates are yet?
Probably at the end of July.
I don't even think about it.
Come out yet?
It's a long way away, and I got a lot to do between now and then.
You know what, though? It'll be here before you know it.
I know.
That's the crazy thing.
You know, I was thinking about this today. Have you ever heard about this Charles Oakley stuff that happened last night?
I saw it.
I heard about it, but I didn't see it.
I watched it.
So I guess Charles Oakley is at odds with the Knicks owner or something, right?
Why?
I don't know. He's upset with how it's working.
Everyone hates the Knicks owner.
Right.
James Dothan or Dothan, whatever his name is, because he's terrible.
Just the way
the organization's run poorly.
Okay.
Phil Jackson's been a disaster as an executive. They're paying him $60 million to be the GM.
$60
million. 5 year, $12 million a year.
Whew.
And it's been a disaster. I mean, and now there's a feud between him and Carmelo Anthony. And there's all this stuff going on. And I guess Charles Oakley basically was saying stuff about the owner or something. Security came, and he starts pushing security around.
Right.
He's a big fella.
Yeah, he's not a small man.
I mean, the thing that came to mind was how many people would it take to get Tony Boselli out of the building? Like if Skip came up and tapped you on the shoulder and said, hey, you got
to
go.
Skip knows where to hit Tony.
That's a good point.
So
I'm saying it would take more than Skip. I promise you that, though.
It took like 6 to get Charles Oakley. He's taller than you are.
Yeah, right? He's a little taller. Yeah. He's probably 6'9".
Not as thick.
He's 6'9".
Yeah.
Skip better get some friends. But I love Skip.
Skip's got friends.
Skip will have a friend in his pocket.
Yeah, he'll probably pull that pocket friend out.
He'll find one for sure. I just thought about that today.
Yeah, I don't think you have to worry about that.
Okay, good.
It's a bad day if I'm getting escorted from this place.
Let's not have that.
Yeah, let's not.
Sure. Boy, combine's
coming. You never know.
We'll know if it happens. Combine coming up into the month. Get ready. February 28th, Jaguars.com will have coverage from the Combine and Indy. It'll be interesting. It's always fun. That means the draft is not far away either. And
what's the date of the draft?
Last weekend of April.
Yeah, the last April. Thursday, Friday,
Good.
Saturday of April.
Good.
It's in Philadelphia this year. Though, obviously, free agency opens before that. March 9th is the date for free agency at the start of the league year this year. So we'll see what happens with the Jags in that before the draft comes. All that always works in tandem. But it's a fun couple months coming
up. Let me say this, though.
Well,
I mean,
fun,
this is the first time that the Combine – well, not the first time, but because I think it's been other places before.
Chicago last year.
What?
How many times has the Combine not been in Indianapolis?
Oh, it's an Indy. It's always been an Indy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, you're talking about the draft.
Oh, it's an Indy.
Yeah, draft is in
Draft's
Philly.
In Philly.
Okay. But the Combine's in Indy.
Yes,
yeah, every
Indy.
Year.
Nothing's changed.
At what point will the NFL start bidding out the Combine?
It's a good setup there, though.
Yeah, it's the facility, too. That's
I know.
You have to have the
but
right
you know
facility.
What? Hey, look. You know,
it's
you
all
can
indoors.
Find facilities if this is right.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, they got the convention center right there. They're moving the Media Row to the convention center this year, not in that stupid lobby with 1,000 people.
Is Media Row big there?
It's getting bigger every year.
It's not like the Super Bowl, though, is it?
They have 1,000 credentialed media.
Wow.
And you had them in a club lobby, which was tiny at Lucas Oil Stadium. Everybody's like crammed in, shoulder to shoulder, typing on computers. So I think they're moving it to the convention center, and I think they're selling fan access to that.
They are.
Of all things.
So they had fan access to Friday that they opened up Radio Row, so there's a bunch of fans walking around. On the
Doing what?
Watching
like
people
walking
get,
through Radio Row?
Yeah, watching people get interviewed, I guess.
Oh, gosh.
I don't know. Wow. I didn't spend much time there that day. But
you're a fan darling. What are you talking about?
No, I actually had to work that week. A lot more work than normal, for sure. A lot goes into that radio broadcast.
So, Combine's the end of February. Free agency starts
March 9th.
March 9th.
So, a few days
March
after.
March 1 was the league year.
No,
so it's
March
9th.
Okay. Yeah, at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So, a few days after the end of the Combine, the new league year starts. So it all kind of mashes together. Next month is going to get busy.
It's hard to talk about free agency right now because you don't know who's going to be re-signed.
Right. So you'll know that, you know, a few days before Twitter will blow up with the rumors, and then they have the three-day negotiation period from the 7th through the 9th.
Which is so dumb.
Just open it,
right? Just open it.
Yeah. So.
Right?
Yeah, I agree.
The interesting thing is, the only thing I can say about free agency right now that we know, well, I think we know, is this team's going to try to solidify that offensive line. I think that's where they'll be most aggressive.
Why do you say we know?
I don't know if we – I guess that's my strong okay. opinion. How about that?
Okay, because that's a strong word to say we know.
We know.
Okay, that's my – knowing
you believe.
Knowing Tom Coughlin and what he believes.
Yes.
And how he believes football should be played.
Well, you look at the
importance of an offensive line. Yeah. And I think they will look to solidify that. Now, so you're right. I shouldn't say we know because it's not like I've got any inside information. But based on history and my very strong opinion, I think that'll be a focus during free agency. And the fact that there's going to be some good veteran guards that'll be available out there.
Yeah, and that's an area that they need. They need competition inside.
Yeah, well, isn't that
tackles right? You can't find in free agency.
Very hard.
You know, guards you can find in free agency.
Yeah, that's the question of Beecham's date, I think, to determine whether you want to extend him next Friday.
Whatever the date is, it's a done deal. I don't see that.
He's a left tackle.
Yeah, he's not going anywhere. I would be shocked if he goes anywhere.
His run blocking's got to get better, though.
No question.
Well, he'll have an offseason with the knee.
Oh, yeah.
And be fine.
It's what you expect to happen. But, you know, here's the thing. Even if he were to get only a little bit better, the contract that they signed him to is very team-friendly for starting caliber left tackle.
Year.
Yeah, but I mean, you know,
I think it's 7.5 and 8.5 the next 2 years that are guaranteed.
That's right.
From what I read. So.
Oh, is that what it? I thought it was for some.
There's a lot of money in the back end.
Oh, back end.
Yeah,
okay.
It's not high in the first couple of years, so it makes it an easy decision. You know,
so
with the expectation that he will get better physically.
Right. So if he's on the roster next Friday, I think it is.
I think
whatever
that's the date. Yeah.
$16 million is guaranteed, right?
And
he's due
a big sum then, like $5 or $6 million, I read, and then the first 2 years are guaranteed.
Right.
Yeah, and there's some debate as to when that date is.
Right. And there's some debate on the Julius Thomas date was reported this Friday, but now we're hearing it's the league year.
But
so
go back to the Beecham thing. That's why it's 10 a year, Jeff. If I remember the contract right, and I could be wrong, but five when they say yes.
Right, do the math.
And then it's 16 over 2 years guaranteed on top of that. So it's 21 over 2 years guaranteed money.
Well, for starting left tackle.
Well, I'm just saying, but I think, I mean, that's how I remember it.
All right.
Yeah. I think that's right.
Yeah.
I mean, God bless him. I'm happy for him.
I think that's an easy decision. And I think that Julius Thomas, I don't think he's going to be back.
No, I don't either.
I don't.
Nope.
I think that's a time to go in a different direction decision right there.
Good football player, though, right? Or have we seen it?
A good football player, but you know what?
Why do you get rid of good football players?
He's a good football player
given
a role.
Time out. What have we seen the last 2 years that says he's a good football player?
That's what I'm asking. Is he?
I would – if I'm the GM, it's no-brainer. I let him go.
I'm not going to argue with you. But when I say he's a good football player
– But, Jeff, what do you base that on?
When he was with Peyton Manning.
Okay. Peyton Manning makes a lot of people
better. He was a really good football player.
Let me ask you a question. Are Amendola, Edelman, Chris Hogan, mm-hmm. Martellus Bennett, and Malcolm Mitchell, are they as good as we saw this year, or is that Tom Brady making them a lot better than
they
are?
Oh, he makes them better.
Okay.
No question.
Okay, is Peyton Manning? Do we have Peyton Manning?
But there are certain that's the issue. Is that if you have somebody who can throw the ball like Peyton Manning, then it would make it worthwhile to keep
that.
A guy like a Julius.
But you
Thomas.
Talked to people in Denver; they weren't clamoring to keep him.
Well, they didn't keep him. That kind of speaks for itself.
There you have it. Yeah.
And I'm not trying to speak poorly about Julius Thomas.
Let me ask you this:
When we signed him, I was excited.
So was I.
And because
let me ask you this though: if he was making $5 million a year, what would you do?
I would let him go.
Okay.
Based on what I saw, the routes I saw him run, mm-hmm. at the speed which they were running.
How about the blocking?
Coupled with that, I would not. I'll make it easier. I can't even think of who's the cat from Monmouth that we have that came in?
Neil Sterling.
Neil Sterling. Was there any drop-off when Neil Sterling came in?
No.
Was there maybe a slight tick of an upgrade?
Probably so, yeah.
There's your answer. We'll pay Neil Sterling $350,000.
Well, a little bit more than that.
Yeah, the 500, league minimum. Yeah.
Whatever the league minimum is. You know my point. And I don't know Julius, and I never really talked to him. I'm sure he's a nice guy. But just watching the production. Jeff, the saying when we played is the same today. Mm-hmm. The eye in the sky don't lie. Turn the tape on.
Boy, but he did look good in camp.
That was unbelievable, right?
Great.
But at the end of the day.
He's making one hand. He's out here.
It's about Sunday.
And does he do some things you like? I mean, if you can get him one-on-one on a fade. But do you pay $7 million for that?
No. No, and you know, as a tight end, for him to get the best matchups, you know, you got to block.
But then I didn't see speed when he's out there. I didn't see separation.
No, I didn't. I think you're dead on. That's why, you know, when we talk about having a Peyton Manning, which makes him a good football player, because if you have a quarterback that can put it in small windows, he can catch it. But
great hands.
Doesn't get a ton of separation. And with Blake Bortles, most quarterbacks, doesn't make it worthwhile.
And in fairness to Julius Thomas, he might go somewhere else with a really good quarterback and be very effective.
Light it up.
And light it up. And if you're a Jaguar fan, you have to be okay with that.
Mm-hmm. I'm okay with that.
I am too.
Back with more in a moment. This is Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars.com and Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday continues right now.
Check out Jack Hanania's Audi Jacksonville on Blanding. You can lease a beautiful new A3 from just $229 a month. Head over today for details. Jaguars Thursday, JP Shadrick, Tony Baselli, and Jeff Lagerman.
Thank you. Thought you were going to forget me now.
Why would I ever forget
you,
Jeff?
Well, usually you go Jeff first and then me.
Well, no, I rotate it normally.
No, you don't.
Tonight, though, I had gone Jeff the first two times by accident. Sorry.
No, it's okay.
And you called me fat, so screw you, Tony.
I call it how I see it, JP. I'm sorry. I'm just trying to be
great.
Honest.
Oh, that's how you do it. Okay.
That's how I do it.
Mm-hmm. That's how you roll.
Well, you brought it back up, not me.
I did not. So, we talked a little free agency. One other name that's going to be interesting. Jared Odrick.
Jeff, why don't you share with us how you feel about that?
He won't be a free agent. He's got some years left in his contract. There's some money that has to be paid at a certain date.
I thought he should have been cut in the middle of the season last year.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm not laughing at that. I am laughing at it. I'm laughing at Jeff because I knew the conversations Jeff and I had.
Okay.
And I'm not going to get details, but I mean, because everyone knows. I mean, Jeff and I talk all the time about football, and we watch a lot of Jaguar tape, and we give our opinions. Mm-hmm. And about 99% of it, we end up agreeing on stuff,
yeah.
Especially after we talk through it, because I ask him questions about the defensive side,
yeah,
vice versa.
Sure.
But I think once the temper tantrum on the sideline at
San Diego,
week three.
Remember,
right?
Karate Kid 2, where the guy after the hurricane, the grandfather tells his grandson or his nephew, whatever it is, you're dead to me, and he runs off. Jared Odrick was dead to Jeff Lagerman
after that moment.
I couldn't believe it. It was over.
I mean, to
Jeff Lagerman would have been the GM, he'd have been cut before he got on the plane.
I would have taken his helmet on the sideline.
You never had anything like that on the field, Jeff?
I was having a flashback because how I would have loved to have seen that handled. In 1995, and Tony remembers this, we had a defensive tackle that we had acquired in, I guess, free agency, but it wasn't like a high-priority free agent. But he was a good football player.
He would have started for us.
Yeah, he was good enough.
Who was it?
Farrah Collins. He ended up starting for the Patriots.
Okay. Good football player. Would have helped us, okay? In practice one day, Farrah Collins and Thomas Linsky got in a little scrum. Tom Selinski, who's now the Jaguar strength and conditioning coordinator.
Yeah.
And look, it happens. And Farrah Collins went a little overboard, you know, ripped the helmet off of Tom Selinski, and then he threw the helmet like 40 yards.
Like a hammer toss.
Oh, and it was an impressive throw. And so Coughlin walks over to Farrah Collins. I'm standing right there, and he says, go pick it up. And Farrah just kind of looked at him and didn't say anything. Tom said again, go pick it up. Well, he didn't go pick it up.
He said no.
So at the end of practice, we're walking off the field.
Well, before that, we all got called up, and we all got ripped.
Oh, yeah.
About who's in charge and how things are going to go.
Mm-hmm. And so we're walking off the field, and Tom is walking kind of with the group as we're heading back in the stadium. And back then, the practice fields were where the new Daly's place Daly's is Daly's under place, construction. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he walks up alongside Farrah Collins and just is walking with him, and he reaches over and he grabs his helmet out of his hand, and he tells him, that's it. You're gone. We didn't even get to the locker room.
We didn't get inside yet.
No, we didn't even get to the locker room.
Cut before we got inside.
Yeah, cut him right there.
Wow.
Cut him right there. And that's, you know, that's what I wanted to see with Jared Otterick with the tantrum that he had in San Diego. Look, I know that the guy flinched, you know, because he got upset because he was called for offside when the tight end flinched. But look, they missed it. That happens. You know, you can't react how
the first or last time that'll happen.
And then once he got on the sideline, he was, you know, out of control on the sideline.
It'd have been fine if he got to the sideline and just threw his helmet once.
Yes.
Picked it up.
But it didn't stop.
He was marching up and down the sideline.
Oh, it went for a while. Yeah. It was impressive.
It did not
stop. It
was
on national television, too, by the way. They covered the whole thing.
It was strong to very strong.
But that wasn't even, you said halfway through the season, Jeff. That was like week two.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's, well, I think he included training camp.
The month ahead of that. Oh, I got you. Wow.
Yeah, he was done. That was over.
I just look, you know, if you're going to be a pro, you know, and you're going to be a veteran leader, and I faulted Gus and I faulted Dave for that. They should have responded to that.
When he was healthy and on the field, how effective was he?
He's up and down. Inconsistent in my book. Yeah. Some games looked really good. Some games I didn't think
played
very
I think
well.
The one thing that he doesn't do at times that frustrates me, first of all, he is an incredibly strong player. And he has the ability to dominate.
When he wants to.
Remember the Dolphins game a couple years ago?
Yes.
Took over.
He can take over a game and take over moments and control people. And at times he kind of gets stuck on blocks, and he doesn't get violent to get off of them to make plays. And that's part of playing the position. It's getting off of blocks and making plays. And when you're going to get paid, you know, $8 million a year, you know, look, you got to make plays. You got to get off blocks and make plays and take control at moments, and he just doesn't do that. You know, and there's some other things with him. You know, I don't think he's the best guy at times. In a locker room team setting, you know, look, if you are, you don't have what happened in San Diego. I mean, those type of moments, they do not help a football team. Winning football teams and winning cultures don't have that.
We'll see what happens in a few weeks. A lot of money due his way at the a few days after the start of the league year. Let's come back and look around the National Football League, and we'll get the results of the picks this year.
The biggest job.
What has changed? We will find out.
Just to give everyone a little sneak peek, JP decided to make people worth 51 points.
No, you did.
No.
I suggested 27. You said, maybe it should be 51.
No,
we can run the tape.
We can run the tape.
We'll find the tape and come back.
You want, because I already know who the best picker this year was. It was me.
We'll find out if that's true or not when we return. This is Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday continues right now.
Final few moments of Jaguars Thursday. JP Shadrick, Tony Baselli, and Jeff Loggum.
Don't get scared, JP.
I'm not scared. Come on. Just eeny, meeny, miny. Might have picked one who I was going to go with first. So we're even. 2-2 for the night. Unfortunately, we're not even when it comes to picks. We'll get to that
coming up.
Let's get to around the league. A couple nuggets around the league this week, including Carson Palmer, excited to return to the Cardinals in 2017 as the quarterback.
Yeah, there were some rumors that he might retire. He was quiet about it, and there was all kinds of speculation.
How about the rumors about he sold his house, moved his kids out of school?
I mean, Carson's a California kid anyway. He goes back there in the offseason every year.
Mm-hmm.
And but he's getting up there in age.
How old is he now?
37 probably.
Yeah.
I mean,
all right.
I mean, it's time for Arizona.
36, 37.
It's time,
37, yeah.
It's time for Arizona to find the next quarterback. They need to draft one.
Yeah, but maybe he got a little bit of motivation watching a 39-year-old quarterback win a Super Bowl.
I think. And he does have some weapons out there to
work with.
Well,
that's a talented team. They had a bunch of injuries this year. They were the only team that was, I think, top 10 in both offense and defense this year. They were bad on special teams, bad on some key turnovers and some different metrics. But, they, I mean, they're a good football team. They'll be right. I mean, they'll contend to win the NFC West next year.
And he's got Larry Fitzgerald back.
Yep.
That's right.
One year left on his contract.
I spent the week, Larry Fitzgerald, actually, the back half of Super Bowl week, because he works for Westwood One.
He does halftime stuff.
Yeah, he does
right?
some stuff.
He does a weekly interview with Jim Gray.
But he did more this year. Yeah. He did some more on the – what a good – you talk about a
– great guy.
Just a genuinely good person. Like, in humble.
Mm-hmm.
So I was watching him because we're sitting after the game in West. After the game, we went back to the hotel. No one had eaten all day because it's such a long day. So Howard Dinneroff gets a big spread for everyone to go. And Larry comes up there, and Larry talks, and it was the whole game too. Talks to everyone like they're the most important, like whether you're the the assistant to the assistant producer or someone's wife or just. I mean, you would never know that he's one of the greatest receivers of all time, just the way he handles himself and talks to people. And I was really impressed with him the entire time I was around him. I mean, just I've met Larry and have been around him. But, sometimes player to player, it's, one thing. But then guys are different with
– He is a true professional.
He is.
Total class and true professional.
I could not say enough good things about him. He's just a good dude.
And we've heard the stories of him having the off-season camp where receivers from all teams are pretty much welcome
and
to
go. And he was Walter Payton Man of the Year.
Yeah.
Deservedly so for all the work he does.
Co.
With Eli Manning.
Eli Manning.
I felt bad for Greg Olsen. There's three finalists. Only two. It's like, man.
Thanks for playing, Greg.
We're gonna, these two get to come and enjoy the spoils, the riches and spoils. Well, I looked over at Greg and said, I know how you feel. We'll hang here together.
You're gonna get it at some point, but Tony, just calm down. It's gonna be okay.
Oh man,
it's gonna be
Larry
okay.
Pajama. He's you talk about a big man too. He is
Larry
big.
Oh yeah,
thick. Golly,
looks like a defensive end.
Probably play defensive end if he wanted to.
How about the 49ers? Lynch will handle the draft, the 90-man roster. It'll come down to the head coach Shanahan to control the 53.
Same setup that there is in Atlanta. Thomas Dimitroff and his crew are in charge of the 90. When it goes to the 53, the head coach, Dan Quinn, has final say.
And if you talk to people in Atlanta and talk to people a lot of areas, it's not even really an issue because 99 times out of 100, that's how it works anyways. Mm-hmm. The coach and the GM are working together on that final 53. And basically what it says is if they disagree on something, Kyle's the tiebreaker. But most times it's a pretty collaborative process at that point. I mean, Jeff, what do you think? In the NFL, at the end of camp, or even going into camp, maybe four or five jobs are up for grabs?
Yeah.
I mean, pretty much.
I'd say like me and you would probably argue on three spots.
At the most.
Yeah.
And we're not in it all the time.
No, and we're not sitting there saying, you're wrong.
No.
We're like, we could go either way.
Yeah, so I don't think that's a big issue. John Lynch will be in charge of the draft. He'll run the personnel side of it. He hired Martin Mayhew, who was the old GM for the Detroit Lions. And he hired, I don't know the guy's name, guy from Denver as a pro personnel guy. And talking to John Lynch, I mean, I know him well, very smart guy, has a lot of humility and understands that he needs to get himself with really good people because he's never been a GM before and get the people who understand the process. But he'll bring some leadership to that place that is desperately needed.
I think that was always his strong suit as a player when you talk to people.
Leadership.
His ability to lead. And first of all, he's a good person.
Great person.
He's got a lot to learn.
And if he doesn't find a quarterback, he'll probably be fired in 3 or 4 years.
That's exactly right.
Let's get to the picks for the season results now. Now, entering Super Bowl week, Buscelli had a 668 win percentage, Loggeman at 587, Shadrick at 573. The selection in the Super Bowl was worth 51 points. Whichever way was decided.
So
Buscelli picked the Falcons. That means 51 losses added to his total for the season. That dropped him to a 521 win percentage.
So I won.
And third in last place.
Shadrick picked the Patriots. 51 wins added to the total. A huge improvement for him. 655 for the season. Finished in second place to Jeffrey Loggeman. He picked the Patriots. 51 wins added to his total. A 667 season win percentage. First place in the Jaguars Thursday picks champion
so
for 2016.
So basically you picked 51 losses. 51 points, because that was the basic number that you guys
needed
to overtake
me.
It's
the number you brought up on the show 2 weeks ago. No, I said 27, and I would have lost.
What was the Super Bowl number?
51.
There you go.
Okay.
Exactly.
Congratulations.
That was the whole point.
Great job.
Way to choke at the end. Kind of like the Falcons. Good job.
So basically, I had like a 45-point lead going into the Super Bowl.
You just choked it away.
That's
unbelievable.
So I'm a two-time champion this year.
Yeah,
fantasy.
Fantasy and then Thursday night picks.
If you feel good about Thursday night picks.
I don't.
Fantasy you should feel good about because you dominated.
Not feeling good about 51 wins out of one game.
You know what? It helped Baselli get a huge lead, the funny math in the postseason, and then it killed him in the end too. Ooh. So
okay, but if we just
live by the sword, die by the sword, my friend. That's what just happened to you. Sorry about it.
That's all right.
We should pick the Pro Bowl next year.
But at least, you know, you started picking
week
100,
five. 100 wins. So. Or 100
why
losses.
Oh, I picked the AFC, so yeah. I picked the AFC, so I probably won the Pro Bowl.
Why don't you guys pick the combine?
Pick the combine. Fastest 40, all that stuff.
Yeah.
Most reps
like
on the bench.
Not the person, but what the number would be.
Yeah.
The number of?
Fastest 40, the highest reach.
Most bench
presses. We don't have to pick the player, do we?
4-3.
Nah, that'd be too
4-3.
Crazy. Me and Baselli would have no idea who's in at the who's
4-3,
even at the
3.
Combine.
Could we do odds on free agency or something?
42 on the bench. 41 on the bench. I'm making. I don't even know what the record.
What
the
did
max
you?
Number,
you
had,
what'd you do on the bench?
I don't know, but I mean, heck, every year it seems like somebody does 50.
Yeah, I don't know.
What'd you do at the bench?
I only did 23.
Or did you 23? What'd you do,
like
Jeff?
17.
Wow,
that was it.
Yeah, the bench press. And I was told this when I was coming out as an offensive lineman. Anything over 20, the scouts say strong enough. Now, if you can do like 35, you're like, whoa, that guy's really strong.
Yeah, but it's
but the difference between like 23 and 28, like,
not that big of a deal.
And so I told the story. I've told it before.
Because here's the thing, JP, in case you didn't know.
Yes.
If there's an offensive lineman and he's got a 32-inch sleeve length and he does 45 reps, okay?
Okay.
With a 32-inch sleeve length.
You'd rather play against him, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
I would as a defender.
You can't reach you.
Let me go against the guy with a 32-inch sleeve length. If Baselli's got probably a 37-inch sleeve length, and if he does 15, I'd rather go against the other guy.
Because he's going to get his hands on you, Tony.
Yeah.
Well, here's the other thing. Yeah. You want a guy strong enough, so over, you know, 18, 19, 20, whatever that number is. But the most important thing, especially as an offensive lineman, can you bend your knees, can you roll your hips, and can you move your feet? Because I don't care how much you bench press, if you can't do those, you can't play.
I would, if you had to pick one lift that you wanted to have a true indicator of strength, it would probably be power clean.
Power clean would be a good one.
Power clean. Because it's everything. It's explosive power.
And you want to watch a guy move. I think the vertical is important because that shows you how much explosion you have.
It would be interesting if they actually did power clean. How many backs would blow out at the combine?
I probably would have blown mine out because you're trying to weigh more weight than you should.
Can't do it.
So bench press was I bench press – from the end of my football year, when I started working out for the combine, whenever that was, so after the bowl game to the combine, I bench pressed twice.
Twice?
Yeah, I did push-ups every night. Because I knew I was going to do – if I worked my tail off and focused on the bench, I'd get 27. If I did what I did and did push-ups, I'd get 23.
Mm-hmm. That'll do it for Jaguars Thursday this week. Sorry you lost the season picks this year, Tony. Maybe next year.
Champ.
For Jeff Loggeman, Tony Baselli, Joe Fortunato, and Hollywood Max Hockman, I'm JP Shadrick. Thank you for watching and listening to Jaguars Thursday.